How did I get a thumbs up with the mic off? That's curious. All right. This is what happens when we do our quick changeover. All right. A couple of things I thought I would highlight on our website. We have updated it to reflect the new format, and so the schedule has been updated. The prayer meetings have been updated. Last year, of course, we had the extra prayer meeting that we don't have anymore in the praise and prayer hour at the 6 o'clock. So now it's titled Grace Notes Topics is what you see there. You see what I'm talking about? We typically have Philippians, Hebrews, and then at 6 o'clock is Grace Notes Topics, followed by the 7:30 PMW. And so if you click on that, you'll see it'll take you to the Grace Notes topic page, and gradually they start to be added, and momentarily you're going to see, of course, Eliezer was our speaker last week. That's why he's at the top. Alan Dowdy the week before that, Bill Kelly the week before that. Although technically we started this format January 1st, there were a couple of occasions in December where Cornelius taught on godliness and Lewis taught on legalism. So I went ahead and threw those two messages in this category as well so that they show up here. And we're just going to take it from there. And so technically then this qualifies as Lewis's second opportunity, although it's the first one that you guys are filling out the critique forms with. And Cornelius will have his second time as well, coming up on a Wednesday night in March. Cornelius is not available on Sunday nights because of his work schedule. However, I do have a Wednesday night where I need a guest speaker because of the Schaefer Conference. So that will be Lewis's opportunity. Anyway, or Cornelius's opportunity. So as these get added to the website, then they're just going to add to the top. Next week is Doug's week for the gospel, and that'll get added to the top. And we're just going to go this way through the rotation. And this page, you know, it builds itself. All of our pages build themselves when the new MP3 file arrives. So that becomes useful. It also becomes a resource as well for various speakers at different times. I know Dan has used it, Cliff has used it, Bob has used it, La Rosa has used it, Lewis has used it. The more opportunities you have to speak, you then build an archive, you build an online library, and so all of these names are clickable. Let me just pick on Cornelius because he's not here. Any of these names that we pick on, or that you click on and select, so there we go. And this also gradually builds. This also gradually builds. We can click on the Warren Dowd name, and you see every time Warren has an MP3 on the website, or click on my name, and you see every time that particular speaker has an MP3 on the website. And so it doesn't matter if it goes back to January of 2016 or February, March of 2016 March of 2017 or November of 2017. A whole year might go by before your next opportunity to speak. Nevertheless, that page is going to be there, and it's going to be the Cornelius Williams page, or it's going to be the Lewis Roth page or the Warren Dowd page. And these then become useful as well, particularly if you're a guest speaker somewhere or you need to send an email with a link. If there's a pulpit committee that wants to hear some of the things you've taught in the past, it's a great way to just send them a link and say, well, here's everything I've done at Austin Bible Church. And they've got an opportunity to listen to the early stuff, the late stuff, the middle stuff, and whatever else. So that's useful as well. There's so many, and the more you explore the website, you're going to see this. When you go to All Speakers, you get a list of these, and including, like I say, the Warren Dowd page. We kind of broke it down by category, just depending, and some people are listed twice just because of different reasons. When Dan was a student, he was known as Dan Craw, but then after he became ordained and became the pastor of Corpus Christi Bible Church, then we kind of created a whole new persona for him as Pastor Dan Craw, and so he'll have separate listings there. But anyway, that's how those work. Missionaries that speak. So for example, this morning, of course, we had Mario Garcia, and the various times that Mario has been here, including 2013, 2014, 2017, 2018. So anyway, just some neat features of the website. That's far more than you probably cared about tonight. But the simplest thing, though, for using the links to get to the 6 o'clock hour and the Grace Notes topic, that's just a single click from the homepage, and it takes you right there. All right. I've been sharing some of the Elements of Preaching by Warren Wiersbe, so I'll continue doing that here tonight. His fourth preaching principle: a sermon must have both intent and content if it is to be effective. A sermon must have both intent and content if it is to be effective. And this is useful for you to have in your mind as you're preparing your notes, as you're delivering your message, as you're getting it across. But realize, even if you're clueless as to this, the Holy Spirit has intent in everything that He gets across. And a lot of times, too, much of this intent is beyond our capacity. And I'll tell you what I mean by that as we go through here. The purpose of preaching is not simply to discuss a subject, but to achieve an object. A true sermon involves not only explanation, but also application. A preacher must not be satisfied merely to instruct the mind. He must also stir the heart and motivate the will to apply God's truth personally. All right? Would you agree with that? Would you disagree with that? Would you dispute that? Would you maybe expand upon that some? All right? Because I think, again, I think a lot of this happens from the Lord as the Word goes forth, from the Holy Spirit as the Word goes forth. And remarkably enough, the same message, eight people can be listening to the same message, and the Holy Spirit can convict those eight people on eight different applications, on eight different things all going on, or 100 different things all going on. And it might be one of the early things said, or one of the later things said, or something else. In fact, I've been rather amused on occasion when a person has thanked me for a message and said they're going to go apply this, and they have an immediate application, and I'm just stunned because I said no such thing. Those weren't my words that came across, but that's what they heard, and that's what they were convicted of, and that's what they took away. And that's a powerful thing. It's a very humbling thing, too, when you realize that God's at work in a message. An outline is not a message any more than a blueprint is a building or a recipe is a meal. That's an interesting way to express that as far as metaphor goes. What a sick man needs is medicine, not a lecture on health. So the object of the sermon will depend on several factors. Clearly, there's the message of the text. You got to start with that. The specific needs of the congregation. Now, the pastor will have a partial awareness of that, but he's not going to have a complete awareness of that. There's going to be things the pastor doesn't know. As we were studying last week in Proverbs, God's the only one that looks upon the heart, and there's a ton of things that go on that people keep very top secret, private, and deliberately don't want the pastor to find out about. And so if he doesn't consciously know it, then he's very dependent upon the Holy Spirit to convey these things and to get them across. There are, though, particular burdens on the pastor's heart. I agree with that. And then the leading of the Spirit of God as the minister meditates and prays. The pastoral intent and the biblical content must not be divorced. G. Campbell Morgan once wrote in his diary this report of a message he listened to. Heard a capital sermon with which I did not at all agree on a text which had no relation to the subject. Wow. All right. Even in Morgan's day, a text without a context was still a pretext. And that's, I think that's a good axiom there. Anyway, that's his fourth preaching principle. He also has a warning, a preaching prohibition called hiding behind the pulpit. If you have a problem with somebody in your church family, obey Matthew 18, 15 through 17 and settle the matter privately. But please don't carry your personal complaints into the pulpit to make them a part of the sermon. You ever been a part of a ministry where that took place? Where the pastor started picking on somebody and he did it from the pulpit instead of just face-to-face in a one-on-one context? This includes hints about your salary. All right? Well, let's turn to this text and let's... Why rob the entire congregation of the blessing of the word so you can vent your feelings and from your secure ecclesiastical bunker attack your enemy? Shame on you. And I would agree with that. That's, you know, you like to say, well, that would never happen here. That would never happen in a doctrinal church. Well, anyway, that's something to keep in mind as you are preparing for your own ministries. Preaching everything we think we know. We'll talk about that next week. That'll be our fifth topic. All right. So you have your forms. Get those filled out. Turn those in before you leave. Don't forget our purpose for being here. I want to thank Lewis tonight. As I say, next week will be the gospel that Doug's been preparing for. Pray for Doug in the upcoming week of preparation. And then week after that is Wes. Am I correct? All right. I didn't bring my notes with me, so I'm just going off the top of my head. And then I also know coming up, we've got a Sunday in February that will be Radley. There's also a Sunday coming up in February where we're going to split males and females, and we're going to send the women off to the dining room as we've got Judy ready to go. Judy's preparing a message in February, and Fallon is preparing a message in March. So we still have far more men, 10 that are still on the list now, and only two women at this point, but as that expands. So I think we'll keep that as a once-a-month feature, one Sunday night a month. We'll segregate and split out that way, and we'll see how that goes. Also, Chuck has a Sunday coming up at the end. You got the last one in February. Oh, the 18th, okay. Oh, you got the 18th. All right, excellent. So, all right. Robert's got one coming up, that's right. On the 25th. All right. As long as you guys keep it straight, that's good to know. Also, Warren needs to keep it straight because we are sending out emails and putting bulletin announcements in the Sunday bulletin. So I'm glad that we have that. All right, Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this blessing, and thank you for the privilege we have, Father, to learn the Word of God first of all from gifted communicators and to be able to testify to that giftedness as your spirit testifies to our human spirit, all things, even the deep things of God. And Father, we thank you for the practical benefit of being able to critique and being able to offer realms of improvement, and just give you the praise and glory for all that you do there. Thank you, Father, for all that you accomplish. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.